In this week's parsha is Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe b'har Sinai Leimah, that the Rebbeinu Shlom spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai Leimah, telling him the following halachas. That pasuk is the introductory pasuk to the halachas which follow, which are the halachas of Shemitah. The halachas that in the seventh year a person is not allowed to work his fields, and that the produce of the fields of the seventh year are hefker, and that anybody can take them. Teras Kohenim, quoted by Rashi, very first Rashi on the parsha, asks the question. He says, why does the Torah point out that when the halacha of Shemitah was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was told to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai? Surely all the mitzvahs were told to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. The entire Torah was told to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. We don't find by any other mitzvah, when the Torah tells us that the mitzvah was given to Klal Yisrael, that the pasuk should specify that the mitzvah was given at Har Sinai, that the mitzvah was given at Matan Torah. Of course it was given at Matan Torah. It was given at Matan Torah, like all the other mitzvahs were given at Matan Torah. To which the Teras Kohenim answers that there's a reason why the Torah specifically mentions the fact that Shemitah was given at Har Sinai. Ask the Teras Kohenim, Ma inin Shemitah is l'Har Sinai v'ayaloi kolam mitzvahs nemru mi-Sinai? Surely all the mitzvahs were given at Sinai, so why does the Torah have to point out dafka by Shemitah that v'yedava Hashem ha-Moshe b'Har Sinai? Answers the Teras Kohenim, Ella, it comes to teach us Ma Shemitah nemru kolaseho v'dikdukeho mi-Sinai. Just as the mitzvah of Shemitah, all the details, all the intricacies of the mitzvah were given by the Ribbono Shel Olam to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. There was nothing added on or subtracted at a later point in time. The entirety of the mitzvah of Shemitah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. So too, Afkulon Nemru Kloleisehem V'diktukehem Mi-Sinai. So too, all the Tariag mitzvahs were given with their intricacies, with their details. Every single aspect of the mitzvah was already told by the Ribbono Shel Olam to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. And the mitzvah of Shemitah is therefore a binyanav. It's a prototype which teaches us, from which we can extrapolate to all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, that just as the mitzvah of Shemitah was given on Har Sinai with all its dikdukim and with all its pratim, so too all mitzvahs were given on Sinai with all their dikdukim and with all their pratim. To which the Arachayim HaKadosh asks a very simple question. He says, fine. So in other words, we need that the Torah should tell us one mitzvah and state in reference to that one mitzvah was given on Har Sinai, and that all the dikdukim and the pratim of that mitzvah was given on Har Sinai. In order, we should know that all the mitzvahs were given on Har Sinai were also given by dikdukim and pratim. Fine. Says the Racham HaKadosh, I agree with that. That makes sense. But why dafka did the Torah pick the mitzvah of Shemitah to be the prototype? Why did the Torah choose that the mitzvah in which it has to tell us that it was given at Sinai, b'kol dikdukeo prateo, from which we can learn out that all the other mitzvahs were also given the kol dikdukeo prateo? Why does it have to be the mitzvah of Shemitah? Equally, we could have taken the mitzvah of mezuzah, we could have taken the mitzvah of tefillin, we could have taken the mitzvah of tzitzis, we could have taken the mitzvah of kibud avim, we could have taken any mitzvah that there is in the Torah, and said about that mitzvah, v'yedaber Hashem el Moshe b'Har Sinai, and then extrapolated from that mitzvah on kol haTorah kula. Why did the Torah have to use Shemitah as its prime example? El al kochoch, we have no choice but to say that there is something unique, there is something singular about Shemitah, which in itself is also a lesson in reference to the rest of Torah. And therefore the Torah chose Shemitah above other mitzvahs. The Rechaim HaKadosh goes off in a direction to answer the question. I want to suggest the following. On the Pasuk in Tehillim, in Kapitel Kuf Gimel, the Pasuk says the following. That the Malachim praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what Malachim do. Malachim praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, says the Pasuk in Tehillim, the Malachim are Giborei Koyach. Oise Dvaroi. They are Giborei Koyach, and they are Oise Dvaroi. They do the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lishmoya Bekol Dvaroi. And they listen to what the Ribbono Shel Olam tells them to do. Chazal, Medrash Rabbah, the beginning of Sefer VeYikra, asks a question. Chazal says this pasuk can't be talking about Malachim literally. Because if this pasuk is talking about Malachim, in other words, if the Giborei Koyach, Eisa Dvaro, Lishmaya Bekol Dvaro is a continuation of the Baruch Hashem Malachov, of the fact that Malachim praise the Ribbono Shel Olam, then there's an unnecessary repetition. Because the next pasuk in Tehillim says, Baruch Hashem Kol Tzvokov, Meshara Sova Yisra Tzayna. So the next pasuk is talking about Malachim. So what's this pasuk talking about? Say, Chazal, this pasuk's not talking about Malachim. This pasuk's talking about people. Continue, Chazal, and say, which people is this pasuk talking about? Who are the people that the pasuk is describing as being Giborei Koyach, mighty people, strong people? Omer Bitzchok. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, you want to know who the Pasuk is talking about? Who the Pasuk is describing as people who are Giborim? People who are mighty people? I'll tell you, says Rabbi Yitzchak. It's talking about Shemrei Shviyas, people who keep the halacha of Shemitah. Farmers who have fields, grow produce, live from this produce. They are called Giborei Koyach if they are Shemrei Shemitah, if they observe the halachas of Shemitah. Why? Says Rabbi Yitzchak, B'noyeg Shebo'ilam. Because I can understand, says Rabbi Yitzchak, Odom Eise Mitzvah L'Yom Echad. That a person does a mitzvah once a day, puts tefillin on, right? 5 minutes before Shkia, walks into the Eitz HaSfarim, puts his tefillin on, takes him 3 seconds, no problem. That I can understand, says Rabbi Yitzchak. The Shabbos Achas. You can even get a tzaddik for an entire week. He does a mitzvah. Non-stop. You can even get Yechidei Skula. Real, singular, individual people, L'chaydish Echad, who can survive doing mitzvahs continuously for a month. L'shayim Eis Hashanah. But to find somebody who's willing to devote himself to doing a mitzvah continuously for an entire year, and not just that he's doing a mitzvah, says Rabbi Yitzchak. He sees his field going to waste. The guy put 6 years of work into this field until he managed that this field should give out a maximum crop. And within a year he sees that the field is going to waste. It's going to take him years to get the field back to where he got it to. Or his vineyard. The same thing. He had a beautiful vineyard. He was supplying grapes for the best wineries in the world. Now what's he got, says Rabbi Yitzchak? A hole in the ground. Worthless. And on top of that, he still has to keep paying taxes. The government, the non-Jewish government, says Rabbi Yitzchak, who's occupying Eretz Yisrael at the time, is not going to say to him, okay, because the Torah says you can't work in the Shemitah year, therefore you don't have to pay land tax this year. Therefore, we won't charge you all the taxes that we normally charge on the land. No, you've got to keep paying the taxes. The Shosak, and the guy keeps quiet, and he does what the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Yesh Lecha Gibor Gadol Mizeh, is there a greater Gibor than such a person? What a melacha. Chazal here drawing a parallel between Jews who observe the Shemitah and Malachim. The pasuk which I thought was talking about Malachim is not talking about Malachim. It says Rabbi Yitzchak is talking about Shemay Shemitah. In other words, with 100 minutes Malachim, but it's not Malachim, it's Shemay Shemitah. They're equal. They're the same. What is a Malach? What does the word Malach mean? The word Malach, we know from Sefer Bereishis. What is the Yishlach Yaakov Malachim? Says Rashi. Malachim Mamish, as opposed to what? To the alternative pshat in what the word Malach can mean. Malach can mean simply a messenger, a shliach. Malachim, spiritual Malachim are called Malachim because they are shluchim. Their entire essence, their entire function, everything that exists about them, their entire existence is to do what God told them to do. And they have no bechira. They have no choice in the matter. They are created to fulfill God's function. Once they do that, they disappear off the map. They self-disintegrate. And therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam is continuously creating Malachim. Hamischadshim b'chol yom, Chazal say. Malachim get created every day because each Malach is created to do a certain tafkid. He does the tafkid, boom. He self-destructs. Because that's the whole metzias of the Malach. The Malach can't turn around to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, no thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, if you knew where I was coming from, if you knew where I grew up, if you knew where I live, I wouldn't be able to do this. Therefore, even though my name is Gavriel, forget it. No such thing. The Malach has to do what the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him to do. But the human being is a Baal Bechira, the human being is a synthesis, the human being is material and spiritual. The human being is a guf and is a nefesh, and there's a constant conflict, there's a constant war going on. There's ruchnius which is pulling him in one direction, and there's gashmius which is pulling him in another direction. And the Ribbono Shel Olam comes along, and the Ribbono Shel Olam comes along to this megushim dika farmer, to this farmer who's a peasant. He happens to be a frum peasant. He happens to be a Jewish religious peasant, but he's a peasant. He's a farmer. And says to him, you have to give up everything that you worked 6 years for, and you have to continue paying taxes. And you've got no idea where the money's going to come from. And the guy does it. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, if a guy can do that, if a guy can overcome his natural inclination which says to him, how can I do such a thing? That's the definition of Gvura. That's HaKivish Es Yitzri. That's Giborei Koyach. That's real Gvura. However, there's a word here in this Maimah Chazal which still needs explanation. And the word is that the Chazal say that what's the greatness of this Shemesh Shvius? He sees his field being destroyed, he sees his vineyard being destroyed, he sees he has to keep paying taxes, the Shosik. And he keeps quiet. Yesh Chagibah Gadol Mizeh. Mashma from Chazal, that the Gevura is not only the fact that he does what the Ribbono Shel Olam says, but an integral part of the Gevura is the Shosik. They kept quiet. What does that mean? The famous Gemara, the Sugi of Matan Torah, the Sugi in Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches, the famous Gemara, where Chazal come along and Chazal say that the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael was not that they were Mekabel Torah as opposed to the Umos HaOlam who weren't Mekabel Torah. The uniqueness of Klal Yisrael is Shegdimu Yisrael Nasa V'nei Nishma. The Klal Yisrael said Nasa before Nishma. And when Klal Yisrael said Nasa before Nishma, When Klal Yisrael said to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, we will observe the Torah even though we don't understand what it's talking about and why it's telling it to us, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said, Mi gila lebonei rod zesha malachi asharis mishtamshim boi. Who revealed to Klal Yisrael this secret, which is a secret of the Malachim? Where is it a secret of the Malachim? Say Chazal, Gemara and Shabbos. That pasuk in Tehillim. Boch Hashem Malacha v'Isa Dvorei Lishma v'Kol Dvorei. So the pasuk starts off and says Isa Dvorei, and then the pasuk says Lishma v'Kol Dvorei. First Asiya and then Shmiya. The Malach was created. What's the secret of a Malach? The secret of a Malach is he's created without a Yetzer Hara, and therefore he has no choice but to do what God wants him to do, because that's the whole essence of his creation. Along came Jews at Maimed Har Sinai, and what did they do? They said, we're going to act like Malachim. We're going to do. Even though we have 50,000 questions. Even though we have 50,000 hours why we shouldn't do, and explanations why we shouldn't do, and reasons why we shouldn't do, and rationales why we shouldn't do. But we're going to do. We're not going to use our brains, Lichura, that's what it's saying here. We're going to blindly listen to what the Rebbeinu Shalom says. That's the secret of Malachim, says Rebbeinu Shalom. Where did you get that from? But somebody who does that is a Gibber. The Shosik. Shosik means the guy doesn't turn around and say, how can I keep Shemitah? Where am I going to have the money to pay the taxes from? Which is the rational, logical question that every understanding, intellectual, intelligent person should ask. He doesn't ask the question, just Shosik. He keeps quiet. Now we understand why the Torah chose Shemitah to be the prototype mitzvah. Because there's a Musa Haskel in it. And the Musa Haskel is in the same way as Shemitah is the ultimate in the Jew blindly following what he's told to do without asking questions, so too the entirety of Torah revolves around that principle. We do and we don't ask questions. And I've always had a problem with this. And for years I had a problem with this. For years and years. For years and years I had a problem, and I never understood this Gemara. If you ask the question, what is basically the difference between the human being and an animal? Lichura, the difference between the human being and the animal is the ability to think, intellectual capacity. Human beings have seichel. Animals don't have seichel. Now it's true there are varying levels of seichel in an animal. And if you get an animal where you think he has a little bit more seichel than a dumb animal, you already start saying, oh, he's doma to a human being, the ape. Right? Because he can mimic you eating bananas. Therefore you say, oh, no. But basically, the difference between the human being and the animal world is the human being has the ability to think, whereas the animal works instinctively. Doesn't have the intellectual capacity that the human being has. So if somebody comes and asks you, what's the mila that the human being has over the animal world? The answer to Chorah should be, the human beings can think. Along comes the Gemara in Shabbos Naf Peiches and says, what did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam get all excited about? That when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said to Klal Yisrael be makabel Torah, what did the Klal Yisrael say? Well, except the Torah, we won't think. You won't think? That's a mila? You meant to think. What's the whole mitzvah, for example, of Talmud Torah? What's the aside of the mitzvah of the Geder, of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? To think. To use your mind, to use your brain, to understand what's going on in Torah. But there's a mitzvah of Emunah. puts the mitzvah in to understand. The Das is Hashem to understand what's going on. So why are Chazal coming along and telling us something which Lechura doesn't make sense? Chazal coming and telling us that the greatest thing about a person is that he's not thinking. What if I was screaming? Think! Don't act like an idiot! Think! Here it is coming along, Lechura, and telling us, no, don't think! It always worried me. Eventually, a couple of years ago, I saw Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik from Boston, in one of his essays, that's his opening question. This is the opening question. He says, hey, Tochen, what's going on here? He's got a whole mahalach. He's got his own understanding of it. But Lechura, it's a shayla. The Gemara in Shavuot, the Gemara in Shavuot says that the Gdimu Nasa L'Nishma, that was the Rebbe Shimon got excited about it. Ma'a mi gila rozel l'bonai. I want to say something here which is based on Rav Dessler. It's based on a few lines in Rav Dessler. I'm a shtickle expanding Rav Dessler and putting it perhaps into a shtickle modern day language. But you say that Dover is Rav Dessler. There are two thought processes that the human being can go through. One is seichel. Seichel is intellect. Seichel is understanding. Seichel is using our brains. And the other one is dimyon. Dimyon is imagination. They're both ways in which a person views things and ways in which a person thinks. But there is a very strong difference between the two. When a person uses his imagination to imagine something, when a person's mind is in the world, in today's language you call virtual, right? In the virtual world, not in the real world, in the world of imagination, he sees a certain picture in front of him. And besides the actual picture that he sees in front of him, he also believes or understands that that picture that he sees in front of him is reality. Right? We all know that you can get involved in a computer game, which is a virtual game, and you get to a point where you really believe that you are in there running around the corridor with a submachine gun. Right? You really believe that at the end of the day. Why? Because that's what dimyon is all about. Dimyon is that you see a picture in front of you, and you assume that the picture is the metzius. The very fact that a person has imagination in itself is not dangerous. On the contrary, it's a mila. Imagine we couldn't imagine. The fact that you have a dimyon, that in itself is not dangerous. What's dangerous is when the dimyon becomes reality. That's what's dangerous. On the other side, on the flip side of dimyon, there is what we call seichel. What in English we call intellectual capacity. The ability that a person has to think. When a person thinks about something, his thought doesn't involve pictures. He's not thinking pictures. What he's doing is trying to use his intellect, trying to use his brain, trying to use his mind in order to define something. He's trying to solve a problem. He's trying to come to a bottom line. He's trying to come to a conclusion. He has to determine, he has to decide whether something is true or whether something is not true. And how does he do this? He has to come to the bottom line, whether I should do X or not do X. So I have to determine whether doing X is truth or doing X is not truth. I have to determine what is cause and what is effect. I have to determine what's the Ikka and what's the Tefel. I have to determine what's essence and what's by chance. I have to determine what's a vehicle and what's the objective. All these things have to be thought out in my brain. I have to work out what's potential and what's actuality, right? These are all things that I use my brain to work out when I've got a problem in front of me and I have to solve the problem. I don't just see a picture and say, okay, I see a picture, therefore, that's what it is. It's a process. And it's even more than that. It's a process which involves past, present, and future. Because in order to come to a conclusion, in order to investigate something, in order to think about something, in order to be tight for something in its reality, you have to know cause and effect, right? The past, the present, the future, and the relationship. Imagination has no past, it has no future. It's only present. Dreams. There's no past in a dream. You never dream that you're dreaming about something that happened in the past. There is no such thing. Dreams are always the present. There was a very famous film a couple of years ago. You guys are probably bigger mumchen than me. A mathematician who got the Nobel Prize, who was schizophrenic. The Amazing Mind, or Something Mind, what was it called? The Beautiful Mind. Oh, you guys saw the film?
Yeah.
You saw the film? You're missing something if you didn't see the film. What? No. And don't ask me if I saw the film, because I'm going to plead the Fifth Amendment. Here's a guy who's living in an Olam HaDimyon, right? He's convinced that he's been hired by the FBI, and he's basically schizophrenic. Now, a major part of the plot is that he's imagining to himself, and this is total imagination, this is not reality, that he had a roommate in college. This guy never existed, but he sees him clearly. And part of the story is that this roommate tells him that he has a niece whose parents died in a car crash, if I'm not mistaken, and that he's responsible for this niece. And for a period of about 30 years, he constantly has a relationship with this ex-roommate of his, who comes to visit him on certain occasions, bringing with the niece that he's looking after. They hospitalize him, and they explain to him that he's sick. But it's difficult for him to accept it, because everything that he sees in his world of Dimyon is real. Does anybody remember who saw the film, when he chaps? When does he suddenly say, yes, I am sick? Right. Right. He says to himself, I got a friend. For 30 years he's been visiting me with his niece. She never got older. She's always a little 9-year-old girl. For 30 years she stayed the 9-year-old girl. I'm sick. It's imagination. Aslam donim. What's the Yaseir HaDover here? Imagination is always the present. It has no past, it has no future. You don't get older. You don't get older in a dream. Now, it's true, you sometimes see pictures in a dream where one picture is from one point in time, another picture, another point in time. But in the actual dream, the dream is the present. Dimyon is seeing a certain situation as a picture and assuming that the picture is true. Even though, if you would sit down and use the intellectual faculties that you have You yourself know that you would come to the conclusion that this is the worst thing possible, and that there can be major catastrophic outcome from it. If your demon tells you this is the best thing in the world, you will do it. Because you will assume that the demon is the reality. And the best example of that is Aroyas, Znus, which is called a dimion, even though intellectually everybody knows that the major outcome of the Aishas Ishtar Zinsar is that she's going to get killed in the end of the day. And so is the person who was Mazana with her. But at the point in time when the Eitzahara is burning, there's a picture. And that picture is Gan Eden. And the Gan Eden becomes reality. What is the ultimate in intellectual understanding? What is the ultimate in seichel? The ultimate in seichel is to know that however much you think you can come to a conclusion, because in order to come to a conclusion you need a synthesis of past, present and future to be able to see the Mahalach HaDvarim, to be able to know what's a Siba and what's a Maseva, what's a cause and what's an effect. Therefore, the ultimate in intellectual understanding is to know that you aren't going to be able to do it, but there is a higher intellectual understanding which is higher than yours, which is the Emes. Only that which can take the entire picture in, i.e. the Ribbono Shel Olam, can come to a correct conclusion. When Chal Yisrael said Nasa v'nishma, Chal Yisrael weren't negating intellectual understanding. They weren't saying we are idiots, we will do without thinking. They were saying the following. They were saying to themselves, we can't reach a real understanding of what's emes and what's not emes, what's the right thing to do and what's not the right thing to do. Because in order to get there, you need to have all sorts of components that it's impossible for the human being to have. But the Ribbono Shel Olam has those components. Therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam can come, quote unquote, to an intellectual conclusion. Therefore, there is an intellect which is a higher intellect than my intellect, which is the ultimate emes, and that's the intellect of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, I'll be mevatel myself to the intellect of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I will then spend the rest of my life with my limited intellectual capacity learning the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah, trying to get to the best of my ability to that emes. But the gadlus of Klal Yisrael when they said Na'aseh v'nishma, which distinguished them, which made them different from the Ummah Sa'ilam, was they weren't saying that the dimyon that we have, the picture created in our mind of what we are allowed to do without Torah and that which we can't all of a sudden do with Torah, that's a metzias, that's reality. They didn't fall into that trap of seeing dimyon as reality. That was the gadlus. Gibeinei Koyach, why? Because Shosik. What does Shosik mean? Shosik means to keep quiet. When does a person keep quiet? When the other guy won the argument. Yes, Klal Yisrael said, Avada Gavis. One has to use one's understanding, one has to use one's seichel. But Shosik, well, there's nothing for me to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You, Ribbono Shel Olam, said what? Don't work on the field. I got to pay tax? I don't understand it. I don't understand how it works. But Shosik, there's a higher understanding than my understanding. That's the understanding of the Ribbono. So I'm Shosik. Now I'll spend the next Shmita year, to the best of my ability, trying to work out what is the logic in this. But the dimyon, the picture that I have in my mind of a vineyard,
which has gone to waste. Or the bankruptcy court, because I can't pay the taxes. Of liens and claims and bailiffs and who knows what? That's dimyan. That's not reality. Because Rebbeinu Shalom says the reality is that if you are Shema Shmita, you will get double in the end of the day. So that's not reality. I hope this is a miracle you said. In Ashkofa the Yad, it's the basic you said. If each and every one of us starts thinking a little bit at a mature level, right? We all like to keep it around and we all like to think, but there comes time, points in time when it's worthwhile to sit down for a few minutes and think seriously. How much of the minute decision, the hourly decision, the daily decision, the weekly decision, the monthly decision that we make is based on real intellect, the Hainai, understanding that there is a concept of Torah which is, and this is the way that it's described by Chazal, Nefesh HaChaim is ma'arech about this, Palatanya is ma'arech about this, and everybody, every school of thought is ma'arech about this. The Torah is Chachmosa Shal Ribbono Shel Olam, it's the intellect of the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's Torah which tells us something, and then there's the infinite amount of terutzim and excuses that we give ourselves as to why we're not doing what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to do. But how much, or how many, of those terutzim that we give ourselves are reality, and how many of those terutzim are a picture that we see in our mind, which is basically dimyan? It's basically imagination at work. There's an expression that from the day I started being what perhaps one can call the other side of the table, right? The day I started in chinuch, an expression that I constantly hear. And it always struck me as being a very strange expression, but a very telling expression. You're talking to a guy, and you're saying to him, you know what, really what you should be doing is this and this and this and this and this. And the response you get is a very interesting response. Rebbe, I can't see myself doing that. Have you heard that expression? I can't see myself doing that. I can't picture myself doing that. What does that mean? I can't see myself doing that. That means you're working with a Koach HaDimyon. I see something at the moment which is enjoyable. I see another option which you're giving me, which with my Koach HaDimyon is not enjoyable. Therefore I'm being koveh lefi my Koach HaDimyon. The very English usage, the English language that we're using, is we're constantly pushing this point of how we live in an Olam HaDimyon. Try an experiment. Try an experiment. Next time you're faced with any type of question, coming to Beis Midrash, not coming to Beis Midrash, stay in the room, not stay in the room, come to Davening, not to come to Davening, wherever it is, get up, not get up. Why doesn't a guy get out of bed in the morning? Me as well. I maintain that people don't get out of bed in the morning for two reasons. This is the Rappaport theory. There are two reasons why a person doesn't want to get out of bed in the morning. Reason number one is because his dimyan tells him that it's more enjoyable to be in bed than to be where he should be. That's reason number one. And reason number two is because his dimyan tells him if he doesn't get out of bed, the day won't start. The minute you get out of bed, the day starts. You don't want the day to start because you're depressed out of your mind. So Kol Zman, the day doesn't start, there's still hope. Once the day starts, it's back into that depression that I don't want to be in. So let me stay in bed. And if I stay in bed, the day starts because the clock's ticking. It doesn't help you whether you're in the bed or you're out the bed. No. That's the Olam HaDimyon at work. Experiment. Take a couple of days. And try and work out for yourself how many of the decisions, the immediate decisions you're making from minute to minute, how many of them are reality and how many of them dimyon. You'd be shocked how many are totally on dimyon and how little reality has to play.